May I have your attention, please?
Your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Welcome to Attention Please, KPTZ's weekly news magazine covering ideas, events, controversies, people in our area. Today we'll talk about the Women and Film Festival, the first of the two events put on by Port Townsend Film Festival each year. You may have heard an earlier Attention Please in which we spoke to Danielle McClelland, who is the new executive director of Port Townsend Film Festival. Danielle is quite excited to be getting her first real festival going. This year, Women in Film starts April 22nd, and it's a virtual festival, all online. But as you'll see, Danielle is extremely excited to get going in terms of presenting film festivals here for us in Port Townsend.
Yes, I'm excited to be presenting it. I can't quite believe it's already here, but yes.
It must have been a scramble coming to a new town, sort of a new town. We've talked to you before about how you have some roots here already, so you're familiar with the town. But moving across country, getting here, and having a festival 4.5 months after you get here.
Yes. I have to say, I didn't really realize what a big job it was going to be to move from the house that I'd lived in for 25 years to a new house. So that part of my life is a continuing scramble. There are still boxes that are not unpacked.
Yeah, well, I think we all have boxes that never get unpacked.
But I really have to hand it to Jane Julian, our program director, and the entirety of the rest of my staff who really knew what they were doing to start with and just have pitched in so much in these last few months to get me up to speed and to keep doing their job so that we could chug forward into Women and Film. And now we're rocking and rolling. It's really exciting.
Have you been able to bring back some of the volunteer people who've worked so many years working on different festivals? Are they able to join up? I mean, you know, given the just coming out of COVID, we've been doing things so in such an isolated way. Are the loyal volunteers and people who love the film festival, are they able to step in and start doing some of their work?
I have been reaching out and touching base with a lot of them. Jeanette Force, our previous executive director, did a lovely job in introducing me to so many people around town. Because Women in Film is going to be virtual, we still don't have a lot of involvement from our volunteers because most people work on the street during the festival. But
that's
Everybody's getting very excited that
of the fall festival instead of realizing, yes, again, this is a virtual festival.
Yes.
So it's 10 days of films online on your timetable.
Yes.
You can watch them whenever and however you hook up to the online. And I know that over the couple of years what we've had to do virtual, Jeanette has worked really hard to get a service that does a really good job of serving up the films. And I think that's still in place, right?
Yes. So we utilize an online platform called Eventive that really has become far and away the leader for video streaming of all kinds throughout the festival. They started out as a ticketing platform, but now they're doing all kinds of virtual video streams and film streaming, and they're very stable. It's really easy to use. We're thrilled with them.
Yeah, I know early in the pandemic period, people were trying different systems and some of them were very hard to navigate.
And
it's good that Eventive's got it down.
Yeah.
For a lot of the people who would be coming to the film festival, they really prefer to be there in person.
Yeah.
And I know it partly has an age demographic thing about how happy us people who are in kind of retirement age, how comfortable are we with messing around with computers all the time?
The only thing we've had to talk people through extensively have been when there's a different kinds of TV services that are involved as opposed to just a direct computer hookup. But even that, I feel like now the majority of our watchers, they're having to do it in so many other
That's right.
Areas of their life that everybody seems really, the last few times we've done streaming, we haven't really had that many questions. So I think people have gotten used to it.
Is there a number people can call to get help? Is there a helpline if people are in trouble?
Yes, we will be available throughout the festival at the PTFF phone number. So
good, good. So you get a pass and you get to see all the films, and I didn't even count up the number of films. You probably know how many are in the festival.
We have 12 feature-length films and another dozen short films as well that are divided into two different blocks.
One thing that's really a hallmark of these festivals, and partly it's the continuity of having Jane Julien doing the programming that she's done for so many years, it feels like a very comfortable but yet always new Port Townsend Film Festival. And in this case, with you just moving here, Jane had an extra burden on her shoulders to cover most of it because you were too busy getting settled here and getting to know your new job to schedule, to program anything.
Yes. You know, at some point in this transition, Jeanette Force, our previous executive director, who had done the majority of the programming specifically for women in film in the past, you know, she just had to stop programming at some point to walk out the door. So we really pulled in a lot of suggestions from all over, and Jane was tasked with pulling together the entirety of the program for this particular women in film. And it was a good learning experience for me. And I knew that because Jane has been with us for so long, that she really holds the aesthetic of what Port Townsend really likes.
Yeah.
So we talked through her possibilities, and we got everybody that we really wanted. So we're thrilled.
That's wonderful. Looking at the program in general, it's always astonishing the geographic range of these films. I mean, these films take us from Arab-based countries going to the Arctic. I mean, that kind of is a mind blower right there. To Africa, to Mexico, to places all over the world, really, to Tokyo and Japan. It's really a wide range, and it really gives you a chance to look at women in many, many, many settings. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of similarities and, of course, a lot of differences.
Yeah, I was talking to Edson Jian, who is the male filmmaker behind Ludi. That is a film about a young Haitian American woman who's just trying to make it specifically in the healthcare and home healthcare industry in Florida. It's set in Little Haiti in Miami. And I was speaking with him at the same time. I was kind of watching my email because I was trying to schedule a filmmaker interview with the filmmaker from Ninja Baby, who's based in Norway, and having to.
That sounds like a fun one.
It really was.
Ninja Baby, the title gives you maybe a little hint that something's fun coming this way.
Oh, yeah. Ninja Baby is awesome.
There's a lot of significant animation in this festival. I think there's some really interesting films that I see have animated components or are fully animated.
Yes, Ninja Baby is one of those films, and I'm very much in love with it. I'm a huge animation fan, and I particularly love it basically when a filmmaker messes up all of the genres. Mm-hmm. And Ninja Baby does that very well. It's kind of a comedy. It's about some pretty serious issues. It really asks deep questions.
It's about
motherhood.
Yeah.
And
Right. Do I understand it right that it's a blend of live action and animation? Is that right?
Exactly. Yes. Wow. So then there's a combo of extensive animation throughout the whole film.
Wow.
That's blended right into the live action that's going on.
And it's not indicated in the description, but was it made in Norway?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Wow. Great. All over the world. And besides being all over the world, the film festivals that we have here, the Port Townsend Film Festivals, tackle all kinds of very human problems, from the tragic to the hysterical to the outrageous, to the unusual and unexpected. And they're here. They're in this festival. They're all here. I was kind of interested in that film that you, I don't remember the name, but it's a film about the first trans person choir in Los Angeles.
Yes, Out Loud is the name of that film.
Yeah. It's amazing that that's the first actually performing trans choir group.
Yes, it's the largest group of transgender and gender nonconforming people anywhere in the whole world that regularly sing together.
Wow. Wow. Is that a feature or a short? Or?
It is a documentary feature. So it is a full length film.
Wow.
Traces the formation of the choir and some of the really interesting and really moving stories of a whole variety of different people that have been involved in it.
Let's see if we can keep a pitch for a minute, okay? Match everybody. We've got some lost souls. You come in right here. You're always reading the top line of the staff. Yeah, it's not a perfect four-part harmony, but we're here to sing so that we can change hearts and minds everywhere.
So please help me welcome to the stage the amazing Trans Chorus of Los Angeles.
You mentioned a couple of your favorites, and I want to talk a little bit about them, but one of them has the most catchy name in the festival, which is Mama Has a Mustache. That's a short, I believe, right?
It is a short. It's just a small little 8-minute, maybe 12-minute film. It's completely animation, but collage, really stop action. It's really interesting filmmaking, but it is a story or really an exploration of different gender identities and the ways that a whole variety of different families can be, in fact, family. And it's told through the voices of little kids who often say the darndest things. They also have an amazing ability to simply accept reality, which
reality
I think many of us struggle to do as we get indoctrinated to a larger cultural understanding. We just kind of forget that innocence and acceptance that we have as little kids. For me, this year especially, I wanted to really emphasize the possibilities of women in film, including non-binary individuals as well, and that perspective. So Mama Has a Mustache was a perfect, fun, lighthearted, joyful addition.
Can you be a girl and have a boy body, or be a boy and have a girl body?
Yes, that's transgender.
Can this person be a parent?
Yes, my dad.
I feel like I'm not really a boy or a girl.
The God is in it. I love myself.
Mama has a mustache.
Mommy has a mustache.
Kids don't carry the baggage with them that we have all grown up with, and therefore they can go right to the point and zero in on the zinger of what they really mean, not worrying about what they're supposed to think.
Yeah. So. I recommend it to everybody. Don't miss that one.
Okay. One of the features stars an actress who I haven't seen in a while, and I love watching her and everything she's in. This is Rhea Perlman. Playing a crusty, kind of cranky magician in a movie that involves magic, but it also involves growing up, right?
That's Marvelous in the Black Hole. It's one of our narrative features. So it's a fictional story with the fantastic Rhea Perlman playing alongside an amazing actress who's just coming on the scene now. I just love that title because the teenager in the film is the black hole. So we talk about kind of a crusty, straight talking magician that Rhea Perlman plays, but our teenager is really just adorably negative about everything for good reason, probably. Yeah. But Rhea, of course, wins her over. I wouldn't miss that one either.
That's kind of dynamic. Films do such a good job of using.
Dig deep. What is your passion?
Get back here!
And how do we turn that passion into money?
A euthanasia service that comes to your door.
We're all just still trying to adjust. It's been a rough year.
See, magic is about making an audience feel something. Ideally, it would be a sense of wonder, but I'd settle for mild rage in your case. You remind me of me when I was your age. I wasted a lot of time being angry. Focus on your act.
I'm glad we met.
Then there's another film called Sirens that you mentioned that you really had a warm feeling about.
So I had the great good fortune of being able to walk into the film festival and immediately attend the Sundance satellite screenings that happened in Seattle at the Northwest Film Forum, because Sundance was closed or didn't happen live this year. They had already fanned out a lot of their content across the country. And Seattle was one of those lucky communities that was able to screen some of it. So I went over to the Northwest Film Forum and we all sat in the dark in full masks and with vaccination status, and were able to see a lot of the Sundance content as it was really happening. And Sirens was one of the films that I picked out from there.
So that was one of your choices.
So, yes. So I got one in.
Great.
And I was so moved, I think, by the women in the film. So the film is about an all-female thrash metal band in Lebanon.
A lot of contradictions there.
Absolutely. So a totally fascinating group of women, a totally fascinating filmmaker, and a storyline that has people trying to make art in the middle of a war, and young people at that, and sort of shows us kind of what it's like to live in that environment, to try and have dreams and to make connection with people. It's just a really fascinating story that's told with amazing cinematography. And I'm not a thrash metal fan. That's not where I come from. I'm like, you know, give me the guitar and maybe the harmonica. But there was something that really struck a chord for me about kind of the anger and frustration that's there in the music, and the way that our filmmaker captures that without it being some sort of like sonic annoyance for those of us who are not necessarily into thrash metal. It's really a beautiful portrayal of these amazing women.
I have to remind our listeners that you're listening to Attention Please. I'm Larry Stein, and my guest is Danielle McClelland, the new executive director of the Port Townsend Film Festival, which is having Women and Film, its newest mini festival, from April 22nd through May 1st, all online. It is a virtual festival. You buy one pass and you get to look at these more than 20
couple
films.
Dozen films all told.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can look at them and share them with your family or friends or whatever, and watch these really, really interesting topics here. How can people get a look at the lineup so they can sort of get a sense if indeed they want to go see these films or which ones they want to see?
So if you visit our website at ptfilmfest.com, it will direct you to Women in Film, and through our online streaming platform, Eventive, you can view trailers and purchase a pass and learn everything that you need to know about how to do the fest online if you haven't done one before.
As an aside, is it a .com or .org? I forget.
It is .com.
PTFilmFest.com.
You got it.
Great. Well, now you get to look forward to the Fall Festival. It's the early formative stage. I know some people who are volunteers who were on some of the screening committees. So a friend of mine said he had a stash of 35 films on his list that he had to watch. So they do their work.
Our reviewers are hard at work right now in selecting the films for the Fall Festival.
And if things go as we hope, with our fingers crossed, a significant portion of the Fall Festival will be in person, as we've had for years.
We are planning a fully fleshed out festival in person and virtual. So it will be a hybrid festival where you'll have the opportunity to attend in-person screenings, just like we have always done. And then we are now moving forward into the future by having a virtual component as well, so that you could, in fact, buy in-person passes or virtual passes or a hybrid pass, so that you could see a certain number of films during the weekend and then have access to watch the rest at home over the next week.
You know, this is one of the things that the pandemic period has forced us to learn, and we're making use of it. It may indeed prove to be a benefit that comes out of the pandemic. I was talking to the people at Centrum about their festivals that are coming back in person, but they have significant remote virtual components, whereas some people can now attend the jazz festival who can't come there in person, but they can benefit from learning from the great teachers that are going to be here.
I'm thrilled that the accessibility that we have gained through virtual presentation is really amazing. I think it benefits everyone to have that as an option, just like all accessibility improvements to venues and physical spaces that we have made over the years. The ability to get this from your home, if for whatever reason going out is not going to be comfortable or the thing that you want to do, it really has improved our ability to reach people at any moment in their life from all around the region or the country. Even.
And this makes it possible for people who know about the festival and have been here but can't come again this year to keep in touch with the festival. Once they come here, they love it. Are filmmakers still going to be coming into town, though, for the festival the way they have in the past?
For the Fall Festival, we intend to invite as many filmmakers as we possibly can, find housing for them. Mm-hmm. If you have an additional bedroom or in a guest house, we are, in fact, looking to add new locations to our list of potential locations for our filmmakers. So think about that and reach out to us if you might have a space that you could share. I know our hosts really, really enjoy the opportunity.
I just may do that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, great. Well, Danielle, it's clear you're having a good time doing this. And
sure am.
Yeah. You've been an arts administrator. You used to, for people who heard your earlier interview with us, we heard about your background in Indianapolis, and you've been an arts administrator of a multi-purpose arts venue, and you don't have a building to manage now. You just have an office, but a festival.
It's really wonderful to be able to focus on film, which is really my true love. And it's also been fantastic to have the opportunity to work with a whole different group of people after having been in the same space in the same location for a couple decades. It's really exciting to be meeting new people and seeing what everyone brings to the table. Yeah. We don't have a fully fleshed out venue or a building, I guess, but we are really aggressively exploring the potential for community collaborations and ways in which the festival can help other organizations present film as part of what they do in their activities.
That's great. Yeah.
And our offices, which are located in the fourth floor of the Baker Building, are rapidly emerging as an actual film venue. So if anyone's interested in that, please reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you more about it.
Your outreach is working, because we at KPDZ have already talked about that. It sounded like a great idea to have an event in your little private screening area. to honor donors or to honor volunteers now that we can get together and watch a film together and have a good time.
I was a board member for the community radio station in Bloomington, Indiana for a number of years. And so I actually have a secret list of all the movies where the radio station is part of the plot line.
I'll have to borrow that list.
I can't wait to talk.
We all have a few ideas, but still there's lots of possibilities. Yeah. Danielle McClellan, I am speaking to you via Zoom and your cat is on the table where you're talking to me. So I have my cats running around here too. We still do work at home sometimes, but we will all be able to get together in person for the Fall Festival in September. But right now we're all going to get together virtually for Women in Film, April 22nd through May 1st, 10 chock full days in which you can feast on all these films. Thank you.
Please join us.
And our listeners are going to hear about you, I'm sure, a number of times before the festival kicks off. So thank you for doing this great thing that really contributes to the spirit of Port Townsend.
Right back at you, Larry. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
So we were taught to be quiet and to go invisible, to try to blend in, not speak with an accent, never challenge any authorities, never talk back or question our teachers. So we were really brought up as good little soldiers. So it wasn't until we were adults that we started seeking out who our mother was, who our relatives were in Canada, and we started constructing our own identity.
You, Mama.
Well, this looks like a family affair.
No, you just heard a little collage of sound bits from several films from Women and Film, which starts April 22nd, lasting through May 1st as a virtual online film festival. We heard Danielle McClellan, the new executive director of Port Townsend Film Festival, share her excitement about actually getting going, presenting films as part of the festival. Go to ptfilmfest.com for information about how it all works to get to see this virtual festival. Thanks for listening to Attention, Please. I'm Larry Stein.